How's that? Can you hear me? Tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Wouldn't that have been an amazing sight? It was all finished, and in some powerful way, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And what did it say? The cloud covered the tent of meeting. What would that have been like? Later on, I think in the next verse, verse 35, it says Moses was not even able to enter into the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it. There was something special about this cloud. In Patriarchs and Prophets, Ellen White says that the standard of their invisible leader was ever with them. By day, the cloud directed their journeys and spread as a canopy above the host. It served as protection from the burning heat, and by its coolness and moisture, it afforded great refreshment in the parched and thirsty desert. So here this cloud is protecting them from the heat every day. It's providing coolness and moisture in the middle of the desert. And then the fire. She says, by night, the cloud became a pillar of fire, illuminating their encampment and constantly assuring them of the divine presence. God wanted them to know that He was going to be with them, that He would lead them. And so day by day, the cloud is there. And night by night, the pillar of fire is there. Turn back, though, to Numbers chapter 9. I don't know if you're like me. Maybe you've read through this passage before, but I believe that this morning God is trying to teach us such an important lesson. Numbers chapter 9, picking up in verse 17, where we left off, verse 17, it says, whenever the cloud was lifted from over the tent, afterward the sons of Israel would then set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, the sons of Israel would camp. At the command of the Lord, the sons of Israel would set out, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud settled over the tabernacle, they remained camped. Verse 19, even when the cloud lingered over the tabernacle for many days, the sons of Israel would keep the Lord's charge and not set out. If sometimes the cloud remained a few days over the tabernacle, according to the command of the Lord, they remained camped. Then, according to the command of the Lord, they set out. Verse 21, if sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning, when the cloud was lifted in the morning, they would move out. Or if it remained in the daytime and at night, whenever the cloud was lifted, they would set out. Verse 22, whether it remained there 2 days, or a month, or a year, when the cloud stayed above it, the sons of Israel remained in the camp and did not set out. But when it was lifted, they set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped, and at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the Lord's charge according to the command of the Lord through Moses. Here's the account of the Israelites, and it seems like we could quickly read over it saying, okay, when the cloud moved, they moved. When it stopped, it stopped. But as I read through this recently, this past year, God was trying to show me that here is a lesson of waiting on God. Here is a lesson of waiting on God and seeing where He leads and then being willing to obey it. Then being willing to obey it. Maybe you played the game when you were small called Simon Says. I remember at recess being an elementary school student and, you know, everyone would line up and someone would pretend to be Simon and they would stand there and give the command, Simon says, lift your right arm, and everyone would lift their right arm. Or Simon says, touch your head, and they would touch your head. Or Simon says, you know, tap your foot, and you would tap your foot. But you never tapped your foot if Simon didn't say, right? Or maybe you're familiar with the game Musical Chairs. It's very similar. You round up the chairs in a circle, and you have the kids walk, and you only walk when the music plays. And what happens when the music stops? You sit down. You wouldn't dare to rub your head or pat your tummy if Simon didn't say, and you wouldn't dare to keep moving when the music stops. But yet, how often in our life do we really wait for God's leading? How rare is it that we wait for the cloud to move before we move? And do we really seek God and wait for His leading in our life? I love the quote in Ministry of Healing, page 478. It says, many are unable to make definite plans for the future. Their life is unsettled, and they cannot discern the outcome of affairs. This often fills them with anxiety and rest. Have you ever been in that situation? Let us remember that the life of God's children is in this world is a pilgrim life. We have not the wisdom to plan our own lives, and it is not for us to shape our future. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, went out into a place where he would receive an inheritance. He obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Christ, in his life on earth, made no plans for himself. He accepted God's plans for him, and day by day, the Father unfolded his plans. So should we depend on God that our lives may be the simple outworking of his will. Too many in planning for a brilliant future make an utter failure. Then she says this sentence, let God plan for you. As a little child, trust to the guidance of him who will keep the feet of his saints. But that's not the way we operate, is it? We're planners, right? You know, the end of the year is already coming soon, and I would venture to guess that many of you already have your calendars for 2013. That's the type of people we are. We live by our date books. We have to have our phone right there so we can check our calendar. We're planning and planning and planning for the future. And we're trained like that from when we're little, right? How many of you as a little kid were asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or maybe as you get older, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you plan to be in 10 years? It's just the way our culture teaches us, right? Study, plan ahead, make a future and vision for your life, and go for it. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, it's stated here in almost identical language to Numbers chapter 9. Exodus chapter 40. In verse 36. Exodus chapter 40 and verse 36, it says, throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day. There was fire there by night, in the sight of the house of Israel. Over and over in their wilderness experience here, God had brought them out of Egypt, and many of them thought, you have brought us out here to die, right? Wasn't that what the people were always telling to Moses? Why did you bring us out here to die? But from the very beginning of their journey, God was trying to teach them, wait on me. Let me direct you. How does the famous verse go? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He will make your path straight. God was trying to teach the Israelites the idea of waiting on him. The idea of letting him say when to go, and him saying when to camp. And then simple obedience. It's amazing to see that Jesus in his life on earth did the exact same thing. Ellen White talks about in Signs of the Time, November 21, 1892, it is in neglecting to follow the exact directions of the Word of God that many err. They turn away from God's plans to follow their own idea, and Christ himself declared that the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. Talking about Jesus during his life on earth, she says, so utterly he emptied of himself that he made no plans for himself. He accepted God's plans for him day by day, and the Father unfolded his plans. Here it is. Here's the kicker. If Jesus was so wholly dependent, declaring, I do nothing of myself, how much more should the human agents depend upon God for his constant instruction? So that their lives might be the simple outworking of his will. Oh, that failing, erring mortals would be content to seek the wisdom of God and be entirely submissive in working out his direction, in exemplifying His character. So what would life be like if this is how we live? What would life be like if we really waited on God day by day? Not just seeking His will in the big things like, what should I be when I grow up? Or where do you want me to live? Or who do you want me to marry? But what would life be like if day by day we waited on God? What would life be like if day by day we waited for Him to make His plans clear and only moved when the cloud moved? I don't know how many of you guys know Juanita Kretschmar, woman of God. She lives in Florida. She runs a tourist attraction that teaches people about Jesus and creation. And one day she was asked the question, how long do you spend with God every day? How long do you spend seeking and trying to, you know, read your Bible every morning? And her answer was simple but yet so profound. Until God gives me my marching orders. Until God gives me my marching orders. And she went on to talk as she was sharing there. She said, sometimes it's in a matter of a few minutes, but sometimes it takes time. And what if we spent our life that way? What if it wasn't just clocking in for our 20 minutes to read in the morning? What if it wasn't just clocking in for an hour, 2 hours, however long we tend to spend? But what if we waited before God for His direction? What if we didn't move until the cloud moved, and when the cloud moved, we got up to follow? Several years ago, Zach and I had the opportunity to lead out in something called the Youth Evangelism Team. Our conference had started this team of young people that would travel around the conference and work in different church schools and work in different with church youth groups. And we would do all kinds of things from weeks of prayer and holding youth prayer conferences, lots of exciting stuff. Could share so many stories from those years. But as we began, God had started to show us this idea of trying to wait on Him, not just planning the future for ourselves, but try to seek His leading. And as we got together that first year, we tried to express to our team that we weren't just going to fill up the calendar, but we were going to try to pray and wait on God to do it. And we started to pray together, and God would grow our prayer time, and little by little, God started opening up opportunities. God started giving us invitations to go places. God started making it clear where He wanted us to go. And little by little, we, you know, started penciling it in the calendar, and we were going from place to place, traveling all the time, and God was blessing so much. But there was one place that we really wanted to go. We had some kids that had been in one of our summer programs, and seemed like they weren't coming out to anything else. We didn't have good, you know, much connection with them. And we had never worked this area before. And to us, it just seemed like a good idea. I mean, there were kids there that needed us, and we'd never been there before. Wouldn't it be good? I mean, we were going there to do ministry, right? And so we called them up, and, you know, we just planned it out. These are the dates we can come. And do you know the only place that fell through for us that year? Do you know the only place that called and canceled on us? Was that exact place? When we tried to move ahead of God, when we tried to fill up the schedule ourselves and do what sounded good to us, it all fell through. And maybe that's, you know, one simple weekend appointment, but how often do we go ahead planning and planning and planning our own lives, and little by little it starts to fall apart? You know, it makes a leader vulnerable and feels a little out of control when you don't know what's coming next. Let's be honest with the fact that this type of life probably isn't easy. Imagine Moses in the wilderness. Here he has 2 million people, estimated 2 million people with him, that are always wondering, are we there yet, right? If you ever rode in a car with a bunch of little kids, you're 10 minutes down the road, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Zach and I would lead a summer program in the summer. We'd take kids, 30 high school kids, backpacking for a week. Yeah, fun experience, amazing experience, but you know how it is. We're on the trail for 10 minutes. Are we there yet? We're tired. We're going to die. Why did you bring us out here? To kill us? You know, same as the children of Israel. And we would be out there a day or so, 2 days, and it was always the question, when are we going to leave? When are we going to go to the next spot? Whatever, all the time. And imagine Moses. Here we were, like, so annoyed at sometimes with 30 kids. Imagine Moses. 2 million people or more. When are we going to go? When are we going to leave this place? And sometimes it was the next day, but sometimes they didn't move for a week. Imagine Moses, a leader out of control, not knowing what was going to happen until he saw the cloud move. And you read it with me when it was in the morning, The cloud moved, they moved. And if it moved in the middle of the day, they got up and moved. Here's Moses, a leader who has people probably coming to him constantly. When are we going to go? We've been here a year. And Moses having to be like, God hasn't told us to go yet. God hasn't told us to go. I had the opportunity to, for the past, I don't know, 6-7 years, to lead a teen girls retreat back in the conference that we work in. And so only a weekend retreat from Friday to Sunday, but God has blessed so much over the years and brought, I don't know, 200 or so young teenage girls out to this retreat each year. And it's been so powerful to see young girls make decisions for Jesus, number one, but also to be able to make commitments about sexual purity, about dating, about so many things that so often aren't talked about in our homes and in our schools. And over the years, God has just really blessed so much, raised up a movement of young girls who want to live their life for Jesus. And it's one of my favorite ministries to do. But sometimes people give us a hard time because the retreat is in April, it'll finish, and it seems like in just a week or so we're saying, all right, let's get together to plan for the next one. And so many people, you know, like, does it really take you a whole year to plan a one-weekend retreat? But, you know, Zach will testify that over the course of the year, we have so many conference calls and get together on the phone so many times to pray and so many meetings, all to plan this one retreat. But the reason is that, you know, it's not just because we're slow and we have a hard time filling out a schedule, but we've tried to go about it in a way of seeking God at every step. Asking God, what do you want us to do? I know we've always just done things this way, but what do you want us to do? God, do you still want us to do the Friday night program like we've done before? God, who should be our speakers? Not just making a list of all the good people we know to speak, but God, what's your plan for this year? God, we could easily fill in all, you know, 7 activities that we need for tomorrow morning, but what do you want us to do this year? And yes, it takes time. Yes, it takes waiting on God, and you don't always know. And often I would be leading out, and I could feel people's frustration of like, okay, we've prayed about this now 15 minutes. We've been on the phone praying together however long. But when God shows you what to do, there's so much peace. There's so much confidence. We would get to those retreats, and God had given us so many ideas that we would have never been able to dream up on our own. It was so amazing to sit there some nights and just watch what God was doing and think, all praise to Jesus, because we would have never thought of this on our own, you know? It makes a leader feel out of control, and sometimes it would be easier just to plan it. But to pray and wait and then obey. Waiting on God, letting him lead, and then following his lead. I'll be so honest with you, I struggle with this whole thing so much. Not necessarily, well, probably in all of the 3 areas, but I can sit, I can wait on God, I can hear his voice, but where I struggle is then following what he calls me to do. I was sharing with Melody yesterday that over the past couple of years, I feel like over and over, God has been leading me to do things that are so out of my comfort zone. So out of my comfort zone. Just like calling my aunt up at 3:30 in the morning. I mean, walking into the Hallmark store to get something and feeling impressed. Go and pray with the lady at the cash register. Who goes up and prays with the lady at Hallmark behind the cash register? So I'm like, God, I can't do that. That's so weird. What are you going to think? I mean, who comes to a store and prays with you, right? Over and over, and I wish this was like a one-time experience, but I will tell you, it's begun to happen over and over and over and over again. We were on vacation, and we had my 2 little nephews with us, and the place we were staying at had a big staircase with these like wooden slats that were big enough that these little guys could fall through. And so after we'd been there about one night, and we were all on edge that these little guys were going to fall from the 2nd story out of these, you know, slats, that we decided to go to the grocery store to ask if they had any cardboard boxes that we could tape up along the edge of this railing so the little guys wouldn't fall through. And, you know, we go to the grocery store, no big deal. We ask if there's boxes. No, we don't have any. Wait, let me see if we could get the manager to help you. So the manager comes out, super nice guy. I was with Zach's parents, and the 3 of us were standing there visiting with him. He goes to the back. And he doesn't have old boxes to give us, but he starts, you know, pulls out his box cutter, starts opening up the paper towels, the toilet paper, all the package stuff, and starts to give us these new boxes. And so we get the boxes, we take them home, we tape them up. All right, everything's great. We all go to bed. Next morning, I'm having my worship and feel so impressed. Call that guy back up and just thank him for what he did for you last night. Tell him that you're going to pray that God will bless him because he blessed you. Who calls up the grocery store and tells the guy thank you, right? I couldn't even hardly remember his name. Then I remembered his name was Phil, okay? His name's Phil. But who knows if he's even going to work? It was like 6, 7 in the morning. I fought God for so long, tried to go on a walk that morning. It's like all I could think about, right? And I'm telling you, this happens over and over and over. And I wish I could say, it's easy for me now. It's happened so many times. You know, people say, like, practice makes perfect. Practice doesn't make perfect for me. I wish it did, you know? Over and over and over. And God didn't, okay, so I called him that day, right? I called him up, told him, you know, I just want to thank you for those boxes. Work perfect, just what we needed. And I'm going to pray that God will bless you for how you blessed us. Oh, wow, you know, he was kind of shocked and thanked me, hung up. Okay, it's all over, peace, right? So we go throughout our whole vacation. We had a great time. We get back to Andrews, where we were living at the time. One morning again, call Phil up and tell him you're praying for him. Here we go, 2-3 months later. Who really now calls up the grocery store? 2-3 months later, maybe it was a month later. I don't know. It was a long time later. Called him up. And I will tell you over and over and over, God has had me call that guy at the grocery store telling me praying for him. Over and over and over, this last August, as we drove out from Michigan to California, felt impressed again. Stop by this time. Take him a book. We took him the Great Hope, the condensed version of the Great Controversy, Steps to Christ. I haven't heard from him since, so I don't know if he's read the books or not. But over and over and over, God has led me to do stuff like this. And I wish I could say to you that, you know, it's easy. If you just wait for God and he shows you what to do, then you have the confidence to go forward. But for me, I struggle with fear. But I know that still it's the best way to go. I know that even if God calls me to do things that are hard, I have to follow his plan. I've got to follow his will over and over and over. The story of the Israelites, when they tried to do things on their own, they messed up. God made it so clear. Hit the rock this way and the water will fall. Moses does it on his own, and you know the end of that story. Over and over in my own life, and even though the times that, you know, it takes me forever and I finally follow through, that's not even the end of all the stories. There are so many times we're in a fresh choice one time eating lunch, and all I did is feel impressed to give a glow track to someone, but I was like so stressed out about it, I couldn't do it. And I was making all these excuses. I don't think the lady speaks English, you know, she looked Hispanic. And then like 5 minutes later, I can hear her from the table she's at speaking English. And I'm like, okay, well, still, I don't think I can do it, you know. And all it is to hand her the little track. But we walked out of there without me doing it. And over and over and over, I feel like God is leading me to do stuff, and it's so hard. But just this week as we were here, I was sharing with Zach some of this stuff, and I mean, he knows how much I struggle with it because he sees me all the time, but I was telling him, you have to pray for me. I said, because I feel like it's not just every once in a while this happens, but I feel like it happens so often that I'm almost constantly fearful of what God might ask me to do next. And I know that's not the experience God wants for us. I know God wants to give us an experience of joy and of peace, and so often I don't have that. And anyway, he was praying for me, and we were talking, and I had been trying to read my Bible earlier, just having my worship and trying to prepare for the things we'll share here. And as he prayed and talked to me, tried to encourage me, and anyway, I flopped back over there in our room, and I was just reading, and Psalm 27 was the chapter that was open. And I want you to open, because God just so spoke to me through this chapter, Psalm 27. And I will guarantee you that I am not out of the woods on this, but God is giving me hope. Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And what is the question? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. God is on my side. Why am I scared? Whom shall I dread? Verse 3, though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. Verse 14, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. I was so encouraged by that. I have in small letters written there, when God speaks to me through his word, I write it down, and I have a little note there, 12, 12, 12. It happened to be the 12th. at Army Bible Camp. You know, I wrote it down there as a reminder that God gave me that promise. And that day, I read Psalm 27 over and over and over again. And God can give you peace through His Word. God can give you peace. The other night, in the all-night prayer, Melody had these list of scriptures in her hand, and I guess she'd given them out earlier. I wasn't there in the very beginning. But when I got there later on, she had this list, this handful, and she said, "Did everyone get one?" And I didn't, so I just grabbed for one. Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength," in capital letters, "of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come up against me, they stumbled and fell." I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what journey you're at with God, but I want to encourage you that God is trying to take us on a journey with Him of trust, a journey of waiting on Him, a journey of letting Him lead and being obedient to follow His will. We may live a life of close connection with Jesus, of oneness with Christ. The mind should be kept in a prayerful frame, looking to Jesus moment by moment, asking at every step, "Is this the way of the Lord?" This is the way that Enoch walked with God. I want that experience of Enoch. Yes, I'm scared. Yes, I struggle. But to let God lead and guide and direct in every step, in the big decisions, but also in the everyday. You know? I want to be able, without fear, to say, "God, is this what you want me to do?" And then be willing to do it. The promise that I want to end with is so powerful. We read the quote a few minutes ago in Ministry of Healing, but I want to share this quote because it gives us so much hope for the future. "God never leads," this is page 478, by the way, "God never leads His children otherwise than they would choose to be led if they could see the end from the beginning and discern the glory of the purpose which they are fulfilling as co-workers with Him. God never leads His children otherwise than they would choose to be led." Think for a minute, the children of Israel, right? If they could see the end from the beginning, God is saying here that they wouldn't have chosen to do anything different. God is saying to you and I this morning, if you will just follow my lead, if you will let me plan for you, if you will wait on me to show you what to do and follow, when you can see the end from the beginning like me, you wouldn't have chosen to do it any other way. Do you want that experience in your life? Do you want to walk like Enoch day by day, moment by moment, saying, "Is this God's will for me?" Pray for me. Like I said, I struggle with it all the time. But I believe God wants to take us deeper. I believe God wants to take us to an experience of trusting in Him to lead us step by step. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I want to thank you so much for letting Moses record that part of the children of Israel's journey. God, I believe you have so much to teach us that, I don't know, we're just not programmed for. We're planners. We plan for the future. We move ahead and God, I so believe you're trying to teach us to wait on you, to spend time seeking your face, spending time with you, to know what your will is and only moving when you say move. Father, help us to be patient. Help give us perseverance in seeking your will, seeking your face. And Father, I pray for the gift of obedience. Give us the gift of willingness to be willing to do what you call us to. Father, I pray you'd help me. I pray you'd help each person here. And I thank you for the promise of Psalm 27, that you are our light and you are our salvation. Whom shall we fear? Thank you, Father, for your promises. Thank you for the way that you will lead us. In Jesus' name.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.